Save big money on your next staining project right now at Menards. Pittsburgh's Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Exterior Stain and Sealant in One can be applied to damp wood, allowing you to clean the surface and stain in one day. Save big on Ultra Advanced Exterior Stain and Sealant. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Novelist Elmore Leonard has his famous 10 rules of writing, even though there are actually 11 of them. Rule number 3 states, never use a verb other than said to carry dialogue. Don't write he said angrily or he said sadly. And the use of those ly words, adverbs essentially, has been in serious decline over the last century. So why is that? Stephen Luchek is assistant professor of linguistics in UCD. Afternoon, Stephen.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Because I suppose that idea where, you know, you'd use words like beastly and ghastly, that all seems kind of Victorian or early 20th century, that's gone completely out of usage now.
Yeah, I mean, those are the sorts of degree adverbs that we're hearing, you know, less and less of over the last, the last 100 years or so. You can go back to Strunk and White, which is a fairly well-known guide of style, probably more popular in my part of the world, North America. But Strunk originally published this guide to the elements of style in 1920, E.B. White, who we know from Charlotte's Web, comes along and sort of updates it and adds some elements about the writer's perspective and publishes that in 1959. And some of the advice there is to avoid these kind of modifiers, both adjectives and adverbs. But it seems like the adverb is taking the brunt of the opprobrium, certainly as we talk about language more and more these days.
Yeah, and why was there advice to avoid using modifiers as much as possible?
Well, part of the reason is to avoid what you would call the sort of Victorian style or the flowery language that we associate with Victorian novels, late 19th century writing. A bit of a movement, I mean, we see across all sorts of art forms, like Bauhaus. We're looking at minimalist structures, both in construction and, you know, in language.
Is there an argument, perhaps, you know, rather than a minimalist aesthetic, that in a lot of cases you don't need modifiers, you don't necessarily need adverbs. If you use one, you know, you're already failing, kind of thing. If you can't indicate in a piece of dialogue that someone is angry, to then tell the reader they're angry means your dialogue has failed.
No, exactly. I mean, I did a creative writing degree as my primary degree, and we were always told to show and not tell. So we're supposed to, you know, give the audience, the reader, the public, the idea that, you know, they can draw their conclusions not by being told what's happening or being told what someone is being thought, something that is being thought by one of the characters, but by showing what they do and how they act and how their thought process evolves. So for me, I mean, I'm maybe a little bit of a, you know, less strict kind of linguist. I think the way that we use language is the way that we use language. And if someone wants to use adverbs and adjectives, yeah, okay, it's not my job really to say these are unnecessary words. You should just get straight to the point. Maybe that's because I'm no longer a copy editor and I don't have to worry about word counts or spacing in a newspaper or a magazine. But to me, it's just the way we use language, and the way we use language is always changing. At no point in history has language stopped changing. It'll always change. And some of the time, these sorts of rules or what we perceive to be the rights and wrongs of using, especially English, because English is probably the most talked about language, still the most used language. These things are always coming up. And, you know, it's prescriptive to say you shouldn't use these things. You shouldn't use adverbs. You shouldn't use adjectives. We're also taught to describe things as clearly as possible. And what's wrong with using the odd adjective or adverb?
Nothing I would have thought, really. And could it perhaps by coming up with very prescriptive rules about what you should use and shouldn't use, can it have the function of making the language we use somewhat less accurate?
There is the feeling that there's a loss of accuracy. There's certainly a loss of indirectness in language. So as we sort of strip away these elements of modification, we're seeing a much more direct style of communication, which for some people is good. Maybe some people see this as the right way to do. But I mean, in this part of the world, we're quite fond of hedging and not being exactly direct about what we're saying and what we want and what we mean, but rather being a little bit vague and not being tied down to something, because being rigid about ideas and about language and language ideas, it can have a negative effect. It can stop you from being creative and stop you from being expressive in lots of different ways.
Mm. In Hiberno English, would it be fair to say we would tend to still use adverbs a bit more than perhaps in other versions of English?
We do, but I mean, we're moving probably closer to the North American style of communication. What we like here is amplification and downtoning. These are types of amplifiers. And these are the sorts of things that give us really very good or, you know, really corrupt politicians, that we can use these extra modifiers. They're not just corrupt politicians. They're really corrupt politicians. Mm. And I use really purposefully because really is starting to overtake very in Irish English. A colleague of mine in Queensland, Martin Schweinberger, he's researching this sort of phenomenon. And he's finding we're probably moving a little bit closer to North American Englishes, for better or for worse. I mean, he's just noting that this is the sort of thing that is out there in the data. Hopefully, we're not going to, there we go with an adverb there. Hopefully, we're not going to lose some of our uniqueness in Irish English or Canadian English or Scottish English. Yeah. Hopefully, these things are going to stay as markers of identity, because we do so much identity work with language. And if we're able to do that, we find life to be a little bit nicer and meaningful to us.
Yeah. Now, but in studying whether the way Irish people use English is maybe moving more towards the United States, is that the way we're writing it down online? And could that be different to the way we actually speak to each other?
There are definite differences between written communication and spoken communication. And as a representative group, the people who write things online are not always a perfect representation of the diversity of language users in a given area. It's also much harder to pinpoint where people are doing their writing online, what their experiences have been. We can't tell if somebody who is posting on Reddit in the Irish history subreddit is someone who's spent their entire life in Ireland, have done all of their education in Ireland, have all of their friend networks are just from Ireland. It's very unlikely that that is going to be the case, because we live in a pluralistic world. What's more likely is we have influences from all over. We use you know, different constructions, different words, different styles of communication, different spellings even, based on who we're communicating with. And a lot of that is down to something that's called audience design. And that's Alan Bell's idea that we're conscious of who we're talking to. And sometimes we subtly and subconsciously occasionally will adjust our messaging so that it's more acceptable and more pleasant to the people we're talking to.
Ah. So over time then, there could be a kind of a lingua franca online that, you know, everybody knows how to speak and talks. But maybe when they're in their own countries or even counties, when they're communicating with people from those areas, it might be different.
Sure, absolutely. Written communication in and of itself is an abstraction of spoken language. Now, spoken language, we can say, is also an abstraction of thought. So by that logic, it's a double, it's a double process where we're abstracting our thoughts into sounds and abstracting those into written symbols. So we're kind of a couple of steps down the line into moving away from, you know, taking our thoughts and putting them directly into a message. Written language tends to be, you know, it's something that has to be taught. So we don't learn how to write and read simply by interacting with our caregivers and our family and our friends and our neighbors. We learn to read and write explicitly. And so that makes it a slightly different way of communication. We also have a chance to think about what we're writing. Some of us, like myself, to my detriment, oftentimes think or speak without thinking. But it's very hard to write without thinking. We have the chance before we send a message, say if it's a text or a message board post, which probably ages me, we have a chance to think about that before we put that out there into the ether. We can sometimes take it away, but when you say something, it can't be taken back. It's like a bell that can't be unrung.
Mm.
So with writing, we will always have a slightly different set of norms that don't always line up with one another. So spoken language, I would say, is probably the more direct link between our thoughts and our interactions and the worlds around us. Whereas written language, it can probably lean more towards standardization.
Yeah. Is there any, I mean, and I know language changes and morphs continually, really, but, you know, is there a danger that it could actually do actual real damage, by which I mean it can water down the meanings of particular words or render them redundant altogether, those particular words? I'll give you an example, and this is a really show-offy example. I was given an award once, and it described this program as one of the most unique. And now I have it at home, and I scream at it every time I look at it. That's why it's in my toilet, because you're either unique or you're not, you know. That kind of thing.
Was second prize, 2 awards.
Yes. Exactly.
But like you say, Sean, language is always changing. We're not ever going to stop that. And we're not going to be able to direct the change either. Language does what language does. And yes, we're the conduits, but we're not going to actively change something. Sure, if that was the case, I wouldn't be able to say that looks really good because my, you know, second grade teacher would be, you know, reprimanding my use of language because we're supposed to say it's, you know, you don't use good in that situation, you say, well, and so then I hear people saying, oh, that looks really well. And so, I'm not really sure if that's an overcorrection there, because with manner, you know, adjectives of manner, oftentimes we opt for the adverb when we probably should be sticking with the adjective.
Yeah.
So it sounds good. It doesn't sound well.
Stephen, thank you very much. That was really good, that interview there. That was Stephen Luchak there, assistant professor in linguistics in the School of Languages, Cultures and Linguistics at UCD. Someone says the misuse of the word literally is the thing that boils my blood the most. People need to stop using it. Literally.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Transform the look of your home with big savings at Menards. Window images, faux wood, room darkening, blinds at a classic design and privacy. They're available in a variety of stylish colors, white, oak, gray, and mahogany to match any decor. Plus, get them trimmed to width for free. Save big money on window treatments at Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.